Welcome to Minority Corner.
With Aneke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay.
And ladylike.
What you got, girl? What you got, girl? What you got, girl? Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. She gave it to me. This week on Minority Corner.
What are you talking about, James?
Ooh, girl, it is Black History Month. Happy Black History Month.
And a happy Black History Month to you.
Well, aka American history that focuses on Black excellence and accomplishments, but you know.
Yes, it's called American Citizen Month.
Yes.
Hello, in Black honor, people.
In honor of amazing Black Magic Month.
Yes.
A lot of times when we think Black History Month, I think that there's a lot of focus on, I would say, heteronormative sort of figures.
This
I'm about
true.
To blow that up. I'm about Ooh. To focus on Black queer theater, specifically the Pomo Afro Homos. So we're going to dig into my graduate school paper where I wrote about the Pomo Afro Homos and also interviewed author and playwright and head of Pomo Afro Homos.
Say Brian, that 12 times fast.
Pomo Afro Homos.
Yes.
That is hard. But I interviewed Brian Freeman, who I actually met even like years later. It's a torrid affair, a torrid story. So we'll talk about the Pomo Afro Homos in my section.
This is exciting. I've been waiting to hear this story since I was out of college and you were still in college and you were telling me about it. I've been hearing about the Pomo Afro Homos for a long time and I'm ready to dive into your corner.
Yeah. Well, girl, what are you doing?
Well, since you have a very well-organized thesis of a corner, mine is a hodgepodge, Jim Jamble, Jimboree with an Aneke.
Gotta balance it out. Gotta balance it out.
It's Good. Called Aneke's Suggestion Corner. So I'm going to be giving you tips for your children. I'm going to be giving you tips for yourself. I'm going to be giving you some cinema tips. I'm going to be giving you some tips on how to survive in this political, devastating end of public education deathscape that we're living in now.
Good. Tips for everyone. I'm glad because actually some of the corner kids have been asking, how are y'all surviving? And so I love it. Aneke's got some tips for everybody. So hold on to your butts.
It's going to be called Just the Tips by Aneke.
Ooh, you got sexy with it. Because if we're not going to be sexy with it, what the fuck is the point?
What's the fucking point?
We haven't said fuck in a long time on the podcast.
I know. I don't know why. We're bringing back fuck.
Bringing it back. So fuck yeah. Let's do it. Da-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na. Ba-ba.
I don't know.
Da-da-da-da. Oh, I was
what
trying to do
this.
I was trying to be the Super Bowl theme, but I think it was just the Hill. I think it was just the theme to Beverly Hills 90210.
It also sounded like the Addams Family. You're doing a little like da 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 da
da da da. No, it was da 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 ba ba da 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 da. No, okay.
That's 90210.
Yeah,
na 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 cha cha na 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 na. That's 90210.
Yeah, I know. I thought I was doing the Super Bowl theme. Same thing.
Does it? Oh, no. What's the Super Bowl? No.
Oh, that sounds right. That's Queen or something. Or that's
Eye of the
Tiger.
No, that's the final.
The final Glory Countdown.
That's the final countdown.
Same thing. Listen, did you watch that thing where they wear those tight pants and all those pads and throw things around?
I did my wifely duty.
Okay.
And I watch some football. I watch the Super Bowl when there's a team that I like. I will actually get into the sport. But
yes,
generally, I don't really give a fuck about the Falcons or the Patriots. I don't care.
Nope.
Sorry, people in Atlanta and New England. We
sorry,
love you
not
for listening.
Sorry.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, but I'm sorry I don't like your football teams. I watch the commercials.
Can I give a little fun fact? And it's not a fun fact. It's an interesting fact. And I don't know if I gave this last year, but do you know that the highest rate of domestic abuse violence happens on Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, People, stop drinking booze and hitting each other. Can we stop it? Can we stop it, please?
Especially when your team loses. Like, that is out of control.
Calm down. Just have sex. Soothe yourself with sex.
You're like, shit, my team lost. Time to have sex.
Yeah.
Oh, my team won. Time to have sex.
Like the bonobo monkeys.
Just do like the bonobos do.
Did you know
and
that?
Have a lot of sex.
Did you know that bonobo monkeys solve their arguments by like having sex with each other?
Brilliant. I think there should be more legislation for that. Voting for Senator Bonobo.
I would not vote for Senator Bonobo.
You might throw shit at me. I did not. In usual fashion, I had a rehearsal.
Because you're
always
just
happens.
A theater man. You're a theater man.
They're like, who? But I did get to watch the Lady Gaga Super Bowl performance. And I got to giving her claps.
Okay.
Giving her claps. Okay. Yes.
James.
Neck is not giving her claps.
No, I'm giving her claps. She worked her ass off. I will give her that. She did a really good job. She fucking busted her shit. But
and
you
she's
know
happy
what I,
again.
But you
she
know
was
what?
Joanne's
she was.
Like a broken-hearted album. And like she's also
because
leveled
she lost
out from
that
like
hot-ass piece Taylor What's-His-Face.
And she's leveled out from like meat dress, like egg woman. She's like sort of like leveled out. Because she went from like you and me listening to her in a car or in a garage and she's performing at drag clubs to being like the biggest overnight sensation ever. So like I feel like she's leveled out.
She has. She is now just a touch weird, like tastefully weird.
Just a little bit. Yeah, it's just enough.
She's a hard ass performer. She does have like, a taste of
she's fucking talented.
Very talented. I will say the thing that really ruined it for me was the next day.
What
I
happened?
Found out that her jumping off the roof of the Super Bowl was pre-recorded.
Oh, I had a feeling.
That
wait,
to
so
me
that,
felt bad.
That you're stop it. So you're like
how, she lied
course,
to the American
she,
public.
She did that. This is worse than Janet Jackson's nipple slipping.
It is,
and is having
because she lied
lady
to me.
Jumpgate. We had Nipplegate before, and now it's Gaga Jumpgate. And Aneke's saying no. She worked her ass off for 13 minutes, and Aneke's like, no, I'm sorry, that wasn't
she
a real jump.
She lied
jump.
To me. Those drones
but
weren't even there.
So, she did still get lowered in from the ceiling, so that
and
is still pretty
like,
badass and dope.
She looked like, you know what she reminded me of? And I love Gaga, believe me, I'm saying this with full love. But
you introduced me to her.
In the morning when you're going to the bathroom and you're in the bathroom and you're either brushing your teeth or you're sitting on the toilet and you look up and you see like a spider coming down on its string.
She did look
she
like
did,
that.
She did.
That's what she was going for.
She was like,
that's what she was absolutely
like being lowered down.
I saw on Facebook a lot of folks were like, ew, they were like angry that she wasn't
why?
Like political enough. And it was like, can I say two things on the matter?
Please.
For one, she just performed, like the second song she did was Born This Way, and she mentioned like racism, gay, bi, transgender on national television to folks like in Texas to Nebraska. Like those words, like when they get mentioned, that is saying visibility, empowerment. Like that song alone is really badass and amazing. And I also feel like she was like, let's have a good time. Like I think Gaga, she's been politically active. She
she's
was
always
at,
political.
Like, I was there with her at the Javits Center at Hillary Clinton supposedly election
with her,
night party.
Standing next to her, holding hands.
She was on a level above me, perhaps. You know, we were in the same we were breathing in the
same
oxygen.
You were in the same.
We were literally in the same room.
It was a big room.
It was a big room, but we were in the same room. And like, also like, it's like, I think that people like, we got to be careful and like who we're bringing our torches to.
It's
because
true.
I will tell you this, Gaga is not the enemy. People.
Gaga's on her side.
So I think we just need to be mindful of like who we're directing
Gaga's
this energy to.
Is on her side. And you
it's
know
on her
what?
Side.
She has done big, crazy statements before where like she didn't she like on one of these award shows, like had hella victims of sexual violence up there while she's saying
she's been working like, with Joe Biden on that recently.
Yeah.
Recently, she just like within her last album, like, and she's come out about you know her sexual like being a sexual assault survivor. Like,
yeah, so she didn't need to do it. And you know what? She proves the point of you can be a casual activist. She was having fun. She was being up there and she was singing her songs, which are about all of these things that people are now opposing greatly to. Like it was Ain't No Thing, which is
like
the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, like, she also, like, we have to remember, like, she's a human being who also, like, her heart, like, I've been through, you know, heartbreak and healing. And sometimes you kind of just want to, like, it was a big moment. If you've, like, listened to the Joanne album and then seeing her dance around on stage like that, it's like, good for you, girl. You are healed.
And she caught that damn football. She did a good job.
Come on, give it up.
You know what? I don't know if I'd want to hang out with her. She seems a little too try-hard.
I feel like you guys would be friends.
Hard. She's a little too try-hard for me.
I think you guys would not be close best friends, but you guys would be like, you're like, oh, I gotta go hang. I gotta go to brunch with her. Oh.
I'd go to brunch with Gaga.
Speaking of brunch, yes. Can we talk about that lady brunch that happened that you don't know about?
You mentioned this and I am clueless. So what is this? It's Sundance, right?
There was a Sundance, like, lady brunch. I think it was Sundance. One of our Corner Kids posted this on the Facebook site, Corner Kids Playground. But, like, it was, like, Jessica Williams, Selma Hayek. I think it was, like, Shirley MacLaine.
Into this. This is
Alfre
a lot
Alfre Woodard.
Okay.
This famous chef lady. It was, like, if you're a famous woman, you were here at this,
like,
brunch.
How did you,
like,
get invited to this shit? Like, how do people get invited? Is it a text message, an evite? How do you...
I think you had to have something at Sundance. So, like, these are all people who had, like, these, like, powerful women who had something at Sundance or something.
Oh, okay. And then their publicists were like, go to this shit.
Yes. And I highly recommend the LA Times did this article that was about, like, what was what seemingly just, like, a lady get-together. And they usually just kind of trade advice about the industry.
Yeah.
The subject of race came up.
Oh,
and
shit.
And Jessica Williams, like, kind of became the centerpiece of... And the one thing that the writer does really, really well is she talks about, like, Jessica Williams as, like, physicality through it of, like,
oh,
like, because it's also really important to, like, know, like, and if you've ever been in that situation where you've been the one person to have to defend an entire movement and ideology,
yeah, like, all the time.
And, you know, I think it's a very fascinating read. I think I also caution people when they read it. We'll post it again on the Minority Corner Kids thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, Selma Hayek had her opinions. Selma Hayek is a 50-year-old Latina woman who's also rich. So,
yes.
It's like she has been through it, but she's also in a different stage of her life in terms of, like, going for it. And so she would say things to Jessica of, like, oh, that's just, like, a mental construct. Like, you can't let them define you like that, or you can't let yourself, blocked by
Selma,
that.
You've been rich too long.
Which it's like I do. And, like, so, and Jessica was trying to combat that. It's like, I guess I'm just like, I recommend the read. I think I'm just putting this as a nugget of, like, go read this article. I think it's a fascinating.
I'm going, like, to read it.
It's a fascinating just like dialogue and conversation happening. Cause, like, I think people reading it can too quickly vilify, like, Shirley MacLaine or Selma Hayek in it. And I think the important thing is that this conversation is happening. And I think that, like, Selma, maybe tomorrow or the next day or even a year from now, maybe will think differently or had her eyes open to a different sort of opinion. And it's like, if we vilify everyone, no one's going to want to come to the table and have the conversation.
Right. That is so true. The fact that the conversation is happening shows growth, shows movement, and hopefully Jessica Williams, I mean, Godspeed to her,
was able
to make a dent or an impression on these two women who have been in the industry for so long, and they're encased in a bubble.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's fascinating. I'm going to read it.
And yeah, because, like, I think when you read it too, it's like, oh, you've been that person, Aneke, who is, like, the only person to explain either racism or women's struggle or something.
God.
And, like, when they talk about the physicalness of, like, her being uncomfortable, I'm so glad the writer left that in there because, like, you've been there. I've been there.
It is so physical. That's the thing that people don't understand, that they're like, oh, yeah, you're just talking about words or whatever. But it literally, when you are in a situation like that, something in you starts to tense, starts to break down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole physical thing. Like, people say that when you go through depression, you have body aches. Your mental health and your mental stability or whatever you're going through emotional affects your physical being as well. So that
Absolutely.
Is so important that they mention that.
Yes.
But I got a question for you.
Okay. Is this about your... I have a question for you.
I want to hear. Because a long time ago, I was in New York and I went to go see Rent, which featured a Spice Girl named Mel B. And you just recently saw
Spice
a certain...
Girl.
Yes.
Spice Girl Mel B.
Let's compare our notes.
On Mel B. Because it was my artist date. I'm doing the artist way, as some of you know, and some of you corner kids have jumped in. And you have to do a weekly date artist date where you can color in a coloring book or go to a show. And so I took myself to see Chicago.
You stepped to fucking up. Somebody's like doing like, I'm going to do adult coloring. You're like, I'm going to Broadway to see a show.
Some people were like, I'm just going to paint with some watercolors, or I'm going to flip through a magazine or have
a
bubble bath.
I'm going to perform in Cirque du Soleil as a date with myself.
So yeah, I was like, I only went to Chicago because Mel B was in it. It's the first time I've ever been to like a stunt casting performance. Like,
what?
She was old, because like, I've never been to like a show where it's like, you know, like they're like, here's the star, come see it because the star is in it. Like,
right.
You know, it's not like Mel B is, you know, anyways.
Yeah,
I learned a few things. One, that she's very busy. And sometimes when you're really busy, you don't have the time to really put all your effort into like one thing.
Oh, that's some shade,
no,
James.
It's not.
That is some expert shade.
I don't know how much time she was just so busy. She's judging three different like talent singing competitions, and she's a mom. Like, so she was like, you know, she went in and out of her accent. Like, I think.
Same like, with Rent, like 10, 15 fucking years ago.
But you know what? Was the like in the second act, she kind of just was like, fuck it with the accent, and she
I'm
just
British.
Went for it. And like, she should have, like, from the get go, it's like, we know you're Mel B. We came here to see Mel B. Like, we get it. And like, I'll say this, like, the more like she was just, you know, herself, and like, I think like my word of advice for any famous person who's stepping into the roles of like a rotating role.
Yes.
My word of advice for you, lean into who you are, because people are coming to see you. So
it's
you can
true.
Actually just kind of lean into you, or fucking go to work and create a fucking character. And
there
so where
you, go.
You just like disappear. So it's like one or the other. And I think she was kind of just like, in some ways it was like, oh, that's really cute. She's like doing like, you know, high school level. She's trying. But, and I also think she was kind of intimidated because the woman she was working with has been in that role of, she played Roxy Hart.
Yeah.
And she was the woman, that jazz. Well, that's Velma's song, but Velma.
I thought that was Roxy's the one who's
Roxy Hart.
Oh, why did they have her play that role? She's way more vampy.
I know. And so it's actually because, like,
casting.
I agreed. But the woman who's playing Velma, she's been doing that role for 16 years. She's 54. She is not letting it go.
Because
she knows
fucking Broadway. Broadway show ladies do not fuck around. They are seasoned.
And Mel B knew, like, Mel B's a great dancer. Remember, she won Dancing with the Stars. But Mel B, like, anytime if Mel B had her own solo song, she was great, she was fine, it was wonderful. But when she was also doing a duet with the woman, she kind of would stand, like, further upstage. She would upstage herself. She was almost, like, giving way, like, she knew. She was like, okay, this
I'll
is
let
you.
This lady
like,
have it.
Yes. So,
she would do much...
I recommend Mel B, go to the West End. You will fucking rock it out.
You can use your accent.
You can use your accent. Do the bodyguard.
Stop trying to do Broadway, because she played, who did she play? She played
Mimi?
The curly.
Did she play Mimi?
She played Mimi.
Okay.
Curly hair. So it was more, it made sense casting
the Puerto Rican?
Wise. Yes,
but the Puerto Rican.
She was.
Did she try to do a Puerto Rican accent?
She tried. I remember is hair flopping around and her being off key. I love me some Mel B. I do. I really do. But she needs to stop with Broadway. She needs to go to West End.
Yeah, I agree, Mel. Because also, Nike, she was also off key, and I don't want to say like she wasn't. I don't, and like when I hear her with the Spice Girls, she's great. Like, I think she's in her element, but I think
doesn't
like,
sing.
I think she's the accent. If you're doing an accent, she's like, and you're not, don't have it like really in you. Like, she was in her head about the accent. So I think it was like throwing everything off. And also, like, she probably had like 2 weeks, like, learn it, throw herself into it. So, like, art of preparation, take your time.
Oh, Mel B, we love you.
Wait, so speaking of theater, though, you have a theater thing.
It's not theater, but it is in the realm of
the
acting,
theater?
Of being a thespian.
What'd you call me?
Okay, I didn't tell you this on purpose because I wanted to tell you on air.
Oh, God.
Your little neck, eh?
You're
little
pregnant.
neck. No.
Is she preggers? Okay.
Theater, and I'm going to give birth on stage? What? Come on.
It's your new show. You were going like Shia LaBeouf with it. You're like, okay.
Just total meta, total. Okay. I had an audition.
Ah, my little baby. Oh, I'm going to Dina Lohan you so hard.
I didn't get it. Mama's going to be rich. No. I had an audition for a commercial.
Oh my God, yay. Did you have to run?
What? No, that happened a long time ago. That's a long time ago. Another story for another day, guys.
Put a pin in it. Make that your Ask Minority Corner anything. Ask about a Nike commercial audition.
It was bad, y'all. This one was kind of on par because I show up. And so I got this thing. So I'm kind of involved in this TV show that might happen, might not happen. If you guys listen to the episode with Carla Lee on it, it's connected to that. And so there's a production agency involved. And so they sent me a notice being like, hey, do you want to audition for this commercial? And I was like, hell yeah, I'm in this now, bitch. I'm an actress.
Yeah.
And so, so they're like, you're going to need a headshot and a resume. And I was like, what? So I took my little face shot that I got from my engagement shoot when he did Solos of Us. And I was like, that looks like a headshot. And then I just typed up some jank ass.
Was it you in a wedding dress?
No, it's an engagement shot.
Okay. I imagine you with your flowers and like this white dress.
Yeah, they're like, what the fuck is this? It was close.
I think she just got married.
It was close because when I go to Kinko's to get this shit printed out, I was like, I'm going to need my resume that I typed up that's like 3 lines long and this headshot that's my engagement shoot shot printed out. And she was like, we don't got photo paper. And I was like, do you got like some cardstock then? And she was like, yeah, I'll print this out on cardstock. And I was like, and she was like, do you want the resume on the back? I think she was trying to help me. And I was like, no, separate's fine. I show up to the casting with my little FedEx Kinko's bag. Everybody else got their professional ass shots with like glamour looking good. I'm running the line with this one guy who's super nice. And I was like, okay, good. And then we get called in first to go in and audition. We go in, we're having to play a couple.
Ooh.
There's a dog in the room. Tell me why I do this, James. I go up to the dog before I even meet the director. I start petting the dog, and you know what I say to the dog?
What?
You're the star of the show.
Stop it. Stop it. Oh, my God.
Who the fuck am I? Why did I do that?
You're like an old-time movie actress. You just went to, like, who's the one that, no wire hangers? You're just like Joan Collins.
Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford it. You're the star of the show, darling.
I just walked past straight to this fucking dog, started petting it, and declared it the star of the show.
And you love dogs. Who knows? That could be the reason why you get it. You never know.
I didn't get it because I wouldn't know
by
that
now. Bitch was crazy.
But here's the other part that I got to tell you.
Yeah.
We did it a couple of times. Third time we do it, director goes, Aneke, can you tone it down? Can you turn it down a notch?
But that's the good note to get from a director because it's a bitch to turn it up and it's easy to turn it down.
You're so
that is a
nice
good
to
note,
say
actually.
That. You're so nice.
No, it's true.
I feel like Aneke, I was like, let me say the lines. Like that's
now, Aneke, can I, you know that you have younger brother actor here. I could totally help you format a resume and there's things for you to fill onto it. So that way you get like, that way it just looks like, cause that's the one thing like they can tell how green you are. If they look at your resume, they're like, and like there's just certain formatting. Yeah. I will help you.
I just don't think acting is my thing. I've now decided that acting is not my thing.
But commercial, because you went out to one audition?
No,
like,
because
I mean,
it just felt like there was like, well, one, I wasn't getting that much joy from doing it. And two, it was weird. The audition, I don't know how you do it, James. You got
it's a crazy process.
Because I'm sitting in that green room. And there was a guy that actually was on like a shoot for this thing that I wrote that we like casted. He didn't even like say hello to me. I like tried to smile at him and he just like looked away and I was like, ew, okay. And then this older lady who had like a plastic ass face and she was obviously going for the older, there's like the younger role. Oh, I forgot to tell you about this part too. So there's there's two couples. There's the older couple that are in the 50s and then the younger couple that are in their 20s or 30s. Clearly I was auditioning for the 20s and she was auditioning for the 50s. She was like, good luck guys, but if you guys were in my age bracket, I wouldn't wish you luck. And I was like, all right.
Ooh,
but here's
wow.
the other thing. When I was auditioning, when I was sending in my information, they were like, we can't tell how old you are. Are you auditioning for the 20s or the 50s? And I was like, what?
That's just the bit. You should actually start going for older roles because you'll book them.
Do I need to take a nap, James? Be honest with me.
No, not at all. But I will say this, that like auditioning and acting are two different things. It's a different technique. It's like you actually can even, I took specific classes in just audition techniques. Like it's different. So it's a whole different beast. So I wouldn't say throw it. Yeah, it's also just like with anything, it's like you put your hours in, you put your time, like you just get seasoned at it.
It's true.
And it just becomes like a thing that you just do. So
it's true. I wouldn't
throw out the baby with the bathwater.
I just felt like straight up Amelia Bedelia. Just like, what am I fucking doing?
Of course.
Let me knock
When's the last time you had an audition?
That fucking Nike audition, James.
Exactly. So you have to give yourself some credit that it has been like 6 years since or 8 years since you've had an audition. So like, I'm proud of you for going.
Thank you.
And don't let one experience be the thing that like throws it away. That's all I'm saying. Stay open because the universe might be trying to give you a great commercial life or some TV and film stuff.
Aww,
so
thanks, James.
I asked you to stay open.
I will. And
girl, we gotta get to the corner.
Let's go to the corners. We've been talking all day.
Ooh, we've been giving Gavin.
I am ready for your corner. Let's go.
Homo Afro Homos.
We're in James Thesis Corner.
Poma Afro Homos. Poma Afro Homos. Poma Afro Homos. So, Aneke, you might be asking yourself, what the fuck are the Poma Afro Homos?
Kind of,
well,
yes.
First of all, tone it down with the language, young lady.
You put that word in my mouth.
Well, you said the F-bomb earlier, and this is a family show, so I'm just saying.
Well, I don't know if it's family.
I literally clutched my pearls last time you dropped the F-bomb. I'm still holding them.
Also, I like how all the college students are finding out about my podcast now, and that's when I decide to be like, fuckity fuck fuck, fuckity fuck.
That's how it happens. So, the Pomo Afro Homos, it stands for the Post Modern African-American homosexuals. So,
oh, I like that. I thought it was like the Pomo tribe or something like that. So no. Postmodern
African-American homosexuals. So I found them when I was a wee lad in graduate school. I wanted to do research specifically about Black queer theater. And through all
of my... Yeah, because you're a baby James.
Through all of my research, I found there wasn't really any. There was nothing except for the Pomo Afro Homos, because there was, you know, in the 60s, when there's a lot of different arts movements that were happening, there was the Queer Liberation Front and then the Black Arts Movement. But both were very much being caught up into their own binaries that left Black gays homeless, the same way that I think like a lot of like even like any intersectionality, like, you know,
black feminists
as well, where you just had like a lot of these movements, the queer movement didn't want to talk about Black stuff. And then the, you know, Black arts movement, it needed to seem very strong and very like, you know, masculine. And like, we are a great, you know, people. And to them, they saw that queerness was, you know, less than, right? It was like, that's not how they wanted for the movement
to
look like.
Which is a fault in the movement.
Absolutely.
But
so in honor
that's why
of,
intersection is so important.
Absolutely. And so in honor of Black History Month, I feel like especially Black queer folk get left out of that conversation. And let's go to school about the Pomo Afro Homos. So,
James, teach me.
And I have a journey because I've met the Pomo Afro Homos after I researched them like years later. It's crazy.
Yes.
So their original trio is Brian Freeman, Dijala Bernard, and Eric Gupton. And then there's a new guy who I think replaced Eric Gupton. And he actually teaches.
New as in now?
Yeah. Like, well, in their latest rendition when they did it recently at New Conservatory Theater Center, where I used to do theater.
In San Francisco?
Yeah, they had a revival. And I got to host the post-show discussion.
Cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. And one of the Pomo Afro Homos, I forget the guy's name, but he joined the group and he actually teaches dance. He does a voguing class at Dance Mission. So if you're in San Francisco. So the original trio had met at Gay Black Men United and just decided that they need to create art for their voices because it didn't exist. And
wait, James, what's Gay Black Men United?
It's a group. That is for gay black men who are united.
Stop it. That's good. Okay. I didn't know. It sounded official.
So this group existed from about 1991 to 1995, and their shows challenged racism, homophobia, heterosexism, black images in the media, class issues, black politics, AIDS, and just like more. And
I love this.
I have a lot of quotes that I'll read from Brian throughout this. And one of his quotes that he said of why he started it, he said, I got tired of viewing the big issues and not looking at the personal ones. So he wanted to create a home and a sort of history for, you know, black queer culture.
Yes.
And just like, you know, some of the challenges that they were, you know, going up against is, you know, again, like the queer movement was so dominated by white men telling their stories, mostly benefiting other white men. You know, Brian specifically talked about how San Francisco, it's very wildly progressive, but it's overwhelmingly a white gay community. It's a lot of, you also have a lot of Midwestern gay folks who come there. They're exiles from like the Midwest or whatnot. But they continue to sort of perpetuate the things that really benefit specifically just them.
White culture.
Yes. And you even had like Amir Baraka, who he is a big famous you know, black playwright, but he often used like queer characters as villains in his plays and called, you know, the like gay as like the white man's disease.
Oh my God.
In one of his plays, The Baptism, the homosexual is like the character's name is the homosexual. And
that's his name? Oh my God.
And he's the villain, and he's like this pervert trying to corrupt this like young black child.
This is why intersectionalism, intersectional talk is so fucking important.
Yeah. And so the show opened at Josie's Cabaret in January back in 1991.
That sounds fun. Josie's.
I think it closed down recently, but that's where they were. Oh. They did all their shows pretty much there. He said that he wanted to create a show about, black gay life, not the show, but a show. And I think that's very similar to us. Like we're not the show about minorities, but we're a show, you know,
we're one of I love that because it's about creating a community and sharing that it's a variety of voices within.
Yes. And so they had two main shows that they did. First was Fierce Love, Stories from Black Gay Life. And the second was Dark Fruit. And Dark Fruit Fierce Love specifically opens with this gospel a cappella that is, I've seen this they did this at New Conservatory Theater Center, and it opens with them singing this a cappella of like, we are an endangered species.
Oh, shit.
I would like to describe some of the scenes that they do because I think they're very fascinating.
Yeah, please do.
They do this one that spoofs In Living Colors Blaine and Antoine. Hated it.
Oh, that's deep.
So Blaine and Antoine were some of the first images of gay black men on TV. And if you guys don't remember them, they were very effeminate, very like, and it's nothing wrong with being effeminate, but it's like,
no,
it was in gay face and done for laughs.
It's very much stereotypical. Very much. I like how you use gay face because that's exactly how it was.
And it's sort of like you're laughing at them, not with them. And it's not a celebration of their fabulousness. So what they set out to do is not destroy the image of the snap queen, but reclaim it in this piece.
Oh, damn. I love that. I love it.
Yes. Brian said, you know, it was pretty much just a triple flip of satirizing the thing that was satirizing us as well as satirizing us in our most serious mode. So it was like, you know, they were in on the joke, but also celebrating it and also satirizing the thing that, you know, they had done.
All the snaps.
A member of Act Black, which was like a ripoff of Act Up, comes in and he chastises Blaine and Antoine for their portrayal of like gay black men.
But wait, I'm confused. What's Act Up?
Oh, Act Up is a very aggressive, violent, not violent, but it was a very, it's sort of like, it was, sorry I used the word violent, but it was sort of like the Black Lives Matter of the AIDS rights activism. But ACT UP was actually even more disruptive than Black Lives Matter, which is a lot of peaceful protests. ACT UP was like, in your face, we're going to burn it fucking down. And so that's why, like, when LGBT folk are like, you guys are being too, fuck that mess. The reason why we have so much gay visibility and got Ronald Reagan to, like, mention the word AIDS finally after, like, 4 years of being silent is because members of ACT UP were disrupting the peace.
I love it. So they're like the Black Panthers of the AIDS movement.
Pretty much, yeah.
I love it.
There was another scene called Black and Gay, which was a psycho study that challenged the claim that integration allows gay men of color to adjust normally to a culture defined and controlled by white gay men. So essentially, the piece was adapted 99% from an actual 60s pulp porn pseudoscience novel.
Where do you even put that on the shelves in a bookstore?
Yeah, and okay, where do you put that in your, do you have a section?
I don't know. You get several copies and you put it in several places.
And there's a new section. I'm looking for the pseudo porn section.
So, yeah, psychological pseudo-porn.
A black student, Cliff, tries to thwart the advances of his white classmate, Paul, but then Cliff gives in to his hormones because he's a teenager, and then they're caught by their white teacher, Miss Emery, and Paul, the white student, is told to run along, and then Miss Emery tells Cliff of her disappointment, deeming him the sexual deviant, and then...
Yeah, Miss Emery, yes, you need him.
And that she was trying, that he was trying to corrupt a good white boy like Paul with his perverted ways. And then she says, I thought you were different, Cliff. I don't know how I can recommend you for the Booker T. Washington scholarship after this, which I think is hilarious because it's a Booker T. Washington scholarship.
That's awesome, the Booker T. Washington. If anybody knows history about Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois, that is some tongue-in-cheek shit.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's good.
And then she also mentions that it'll break my heart to tell your mother, which I thought is like, you know, in that, like, also thinking about in the 90s of when this was written, that, like, you know, if you were to come out as gay, it was almost seeming like a betraying of your race.
Yeah, you know, that's so true.
They have pieces in there that also address sort of like the rhetoric in the black church. They have a piece called Silent Night, which is at the funeral of a drag queen, where, you know, a friend recounts how the minister said they died from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But when you're poor, black, effeminate, and gay, life is wrong place, wrong time.
Ooh, that's deep. Shit. This is good shit.
And you can actually...
why don't we know more about this truth?
Well, that's why I'm dressing this on you. And actually, you can actually go to the library and actually, some of their plays have been published and some of the you can actually read some of these scenes. I highly recommend.
I might get them for my library
you
then.
You should. Please do. Want to touch a little bit on Dark Fruit because it was their second play and it was very, very different. And it was based on this photographer, Robert Mapplethorpe. He did this
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, he dated Patti Smith. She wrote the book Just Kids about her and his relationship.
Oh, right. Well, he did this exhibition featuring images of black men. In the theme, he really treated black men as like this object. And what they did in turn, they made him the subject. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
See, the poem out for homos are so dope. And so he...
Very, like, so intellectual. Yeah, I love
they're
it.
They're brilliant. And so Brian described both of the shows. He said, you know, he would describe, you know, Fierce Love, their first show, as like a warm and cuddly show about the diversity of black gay male lives, whereas Dark Fruit is more about ambivalence and things that are not right with our community and with the larger communities we travel through.
Oh, shit. That's good.
Yes. So there's this one scene they did called Tasty, which talks about internalized homophobia within the gay community. When this
We've talked about this.
Yeah. So there's this black man. He means to be strong. And the white community sort of dictates, you know, what's attractive. And in this story, there's, you know, this... the story of this white guy who has sex with another black man for the first time, and he recalls about how it was just the most powerful experience of his life and how perfect. And then you know, he's like, oh, this is the first black man in my life. And then there's the beautiful moment is quickly ruined when the other black guy's white lover enters into the room, but the black guy, you know, calms his lover down quickly, saying like, oh, I just need a little taste. Like, I was just, you know, exploring that. I could never, you know, love another black guy.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And so...
That makes me sad.
And so, and then there's this other piece called Aunties in America. So...
Okay.
This is one of my favorite pieces. Highly recommend reading this one. So the pomos bring attention to three black characters written by whites in theater. And sort of like how they create this sort of false sense of visibility, diversity, and voice. So the three characters they use were Belize from Angels in America.
Oh, shit.
Paul from Six Degrees of Separation, who in the movie was played by Will Smith.
Will Smith?
Yeah.
Right. But he's like a hustler guy, right?
Yeah. And he's this, you know, a gay black sort of hustler, which... And then Jacob from La Cage, the Birdcage.
Oh, the Birdcage, but the French version.
Yeah. So there's that very flamboyant sort of like maid sort of character. And here, so it's great because you're having these three, like they're finally getting to have their own voice through three black actors and black playwrights, black authors,
oh, wow,
you know, because they're originally written by white men. And so now they're managing to speak for these characters and without becoming them or validating their stereotypes. And, you know, Brian talks about, you know, Angels in America, it's a play about, you know, being white and gay and really talks. I mean, and it's sad because it's like, you know, AIDS, you know, it affected everybody, but still to this day, like some of the highest numbers are people from the black and Latino communities. And oftentimes when you're seeing stories about HIV and AIDS, like we're kind of like left.
It's white people.
We're kind of left out of.
Even just recently, I've been watching on the Super Bowl, they kept having the commercial for this show, We Rise, which is about the, I think it, they aren't very clear about it, but it's clearly through time and clearly about the LGBTQ rights movement. Mm-hmm. But it's like 90% white people.
See,
still.
How do you...
I think I saw like maybe one black person. Like no Asians, no Latinos. It was like still to this day. It hasn't even premiered
yet. That's kind of shocking to me. Like that's, I can't believe in 2017 that would happen. Like, did we not learn from that awful Stonewall movie that happened?
Right.
In Aunties in America, like also, and I think I resonate with it. Not like you personally will resonate with this, but like you and like how you see black women portrayed, like oftentimes like gay black characters in plays, you know, they're just the faithful friend, the surrogate mother, the nursing caregiver, de-sexed mammy, never the hero, protagonist, or love interest. Like, and that's why like Moonlight for me was so powerful because I've never seen that, everybody. I've never seen my story front and center. It's never happened on the big screen. So like
people don't understand how important it is to see your story or an adjacent to your own story up on screen.
Yeah.
Like, if you have seen someone similar to your life and you're able to relate to it on screen, you are in the privilege.
Absolutely.
That doesn't happen for all of us.
Absolutely. One last scene I will talk about, and also just to touch on, like, you know, honestly, like, for the Black Arts Movement, when, you know, they actually never really address, it's rare, I mean, now more so, but at the time, not really addressing HIV and AIDS, like, it's almost like, you know, you are aiding in the murder of your own community, because silence
is
consent, like, you know, you kind of left your brothers for death. So they have this one scene that I really loved is, you know, kind of addresses the piece explores safer sex amongst black gay men while exploring black on black love, which I love because it's like it's rare for you to see images of men of color loving other men of color.
You never see it.
You just don't see it. And, you know, it's a revolution because it defies the claim of whiteness as being the object of desire. So it's like this black guy in a club and he's fantasizing about being with this other black guy that he sees. And they have a very safe sexual encounter. And, you know, it shows how it can be beautiful.
It's like a rom-com.
And safe. Yeah, it was literally like that's a scene.
Yeah, I love it. Because why does it always gotta have conflicts?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. and just to give you like what was the reception of the poem for homos when they came out, you know, the white male audience, they came out, they saw it. The black like hetero community did not come out and see this. They got banned twice from the National Black Theater Festival.
What the fuck? See, intersectionality.
And so, but here
we need it.
Here's a little bit of gossip. So the claim is that the National Black Theater Festival said that they turned their submissions in late, and that their tapes were poor quality. And so then, but Brian's like, because we got banned twice, and it was because of the homosexual content. Because he says the next time our tapes were on time and good quality, and he said like it was just. it was too controversial to include in their parade of stars of what they wanted.
I fucking hate that. I hate that the black community can't rally around its own members just because of sexual preference. But that, I mean, I saying it to me for logic, but I understand that it's a problem that the black community has.
Yeah.
We need to fix it.
Yeah.
And it continues. What's her face? That gospel singer just got banned from Ellen because she was saying some mess in church.
Don't be saying it. Don't. Yeah.
Right.
And I absolutely agree. And so also Brian also wrote a play that premiered at the Berkeley Rep a few years back called Civil Sex about Bayard Rustin. Who was the right-hand man to Martin Luther King Jr. Like, he also, like, helped organize the Million Man March. Like, as Martin Luther King started getting more prominent, they were like, you've got to step away from Bayard. And I'm so glad that, like, he's also left out of the history books as well. And so I think in Black History Month, like, maybe I'll do another segment specifically focusing on just Bayard, actually.
Yeah, let's focus on some unsung heroes, too.
And so I did get to interview Brian. I won't get to read all of, you know, the quotes from him. But we did talk about I got to meet him twice, once over the phone in 2008, and then in 2012 I got to meet him. So it was really like fanboy moment because, you know, I researched him. And you know, we talked about, like, you know, I asked him, like, do you think that, you know, things are growing and changing? And he says, you know, slowly, you know, it's a little bit. He says that, you know, and when he talks about the future, he's ever hopeful and disappointed at the same time. He did question that maybe the theater is not the place for, you know, the black queer movement, that maybe, because at this time, Noah's Ark was on TV. And so he was saying
that was on Logo, maybe black, we're going to queer TV show.
Yeah, so maybe we're going to the TV medium, but that show has since been canceled. So that, you know, didn't really happen.
Rest in peace, Noah's Ark.
Rest in peace, Noah's Ark. But he, you know, also just sort of credited, you know, authors like Zora Neale Hurston and Alice Walker as some of, like, his heroes of, you know, because they also had to step out of, like, they had intersectionality and they just had to, like, make it.
I mean, can you imagine with, like, the time period that they were in? Both of those two. Well, you said Zora Neale Hurston and who was the other one?
Alice Walker.
Two different time periods, but two different struggles, you know? Like, there's a lot of different things, you know?
And I'll leave us with this last quote with Brian said, is that he was referencing one of those two ladies. I don't know why my notes got cut off. But he referenced one of those two ladies, and one of them referred to themselves as Sister Outsider. And he said, sometimes I feel like Brother Outsider as I struggle with what it means to move in from the margins. And it's the less than fabulous, the dark, complicated, and messy secrets of history that don't always make people heroes or saints that I find myself exploring now. So,
I like that.
And the last thing that he said is, I'll leave it with this, is he said, we are here, we're black and queer, get used to it.
Yes, add that in. So, add that addendum.
So that is for a good while, I've been sitting on this. I've been wanting to share this with everybody. And I feel like, you know, Black History Month, I wanted to put this out there. And
perfect.
So I encourage you all to do more research into the Poem for Homos. If you're, you know, a young black artist, get your friends together, do their shows, like read their shows, get them produced. If you are a producer with some money and you've got a theater company, get these shows done. You can contact the Poem for Homos. They're willing to tour. They're not doing much of anything. Yes. Like, get them. Get them on your, get them, get them, book them.
Get them. Oh my God. Thank you so much, James. I did not know. Now I know. And I'm like incredibly fascinated. They are doing, I mean, the things that they have done those scenes that you were talking about were so layered.
Yeah. Right.
Which is incredible on theater. Yeah. So I'm very excited.
Well, thanks for listening. Well, I'm ready to get over to your list.
Hodgepodge.
List it up.
Hodgepodge.
She's serving it up some hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge.
Your next single dropping 2022.
Yes, give me extra time to write all my hodgepodge lyrics. I need it. Okay, so I couldn't decide on what I wanted to talk about because there was one article that I found that's very much like the things that I normally talk about. So I was like, well, I don't know. And then there was another article that I was like, this is kind of cool that I saw on the Corner Kids Playground. So I'm just going to give you some tips for life. Just the tips with an Eke.
Just the tips.
Okay. So the first tip, just to make it extra inappropriate, since it's about children.
Should I lube it up? No. Okay, this is okay. No. Whoops.
Children,
I
mean, put that lube back. Put it away.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
It's daylight right now. It's daylight. Okay, so I found this article on the Washington Post, and it's called 19 Books to Help Children Find Hope and Strength in Stressful Times, a Librarian's List. So, two things pointed.
Did you write this list?
No, I did not, sadly. But I do like that it is a librarian's list. And two, the Washington Post is a credible source, which is one thing that I'm going to be revving up in the time space that we have, is because there's too many stupid alternative facts and nonsense being tossed around. We need to fucking check our sources. We need to fucking make sure that shit is correct with what we're saying, because clearly the people running this country do not care.
Generally, if you Google something and there's no other news source talking about it, it is an alternative fact.
Yes.
As in, I hate that phrase. I don't want to give
it
power.
I don't want to give it power either.
It is a lie. It is fake news.
You know what that is? What it reminds me of, and everybody knows this, when you're in class and there's that one kid who's... the teacher calls on them to talk about the assigned reading, and you know the fuck they did not talk about the assigned reading, but they think that they're going to try and get away with some bullshit. We all know it's bullshit, and I've called out students. I've been like, that's not true, and they get mad at me, but don't do that. But our administration's doing it right now, and it's really annoying. So shit is fucking bleak right now, and for all of y'all with children, you probably have some kids that are being like, what, how do we, why is mommy crying all the time, like how do we fucking get past this? So this list, I'm gonna not read all of it, but I will post the link. I'm gonna read some of them, and I want you guys to read these with your kids and get some of that inspiration for yourself and for your children.
Yeah, get it for the babies. Inspire. Okay.
So the first book on here is called Because Amelia Smiled. It's by David Ezra Stein. And One Smile Has International Consequences, in a book that celebrates the power of love and hope. It's cute. It's like, you know when you're walking down the street and somebody smiles at you, and or you smile at somebody and they don't smile back?
Oh.
It's like, just pass a smile on.
Smiles are infectious. Like, I know, I catch myself, I'm not smiling and someone smiles at me. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and then you're like, smiling. Oh, okay, it's nice.
You don't gotta be creepy about it, but just get it on.
Just a nice little, like, hey. Here's one called If You Plant a Seed by Kadir Nielsen. A food fight breaks out when a rabbit and a mouse refuse to share the bounty of their vegetable harvest with a flock of birds. That sounds
I am into it. I am into it. Anytime you put animals in it, it's great because it's like an allegory.
Yeah.
It's different species, but they need to get along.
And it goes, things look grave until the mouse realizes that sharing just might be a better solution. Hello, rich people. Hello.
You know what I want to do? Mm-hmm. I want to get copies of this book and send it to rich people.
Yes.
And be like, you need to learn.
You need to learn. You know, this is simple ass shit.
When's the last time Betsy DeVovo or DeVuvu ever read a book? We'll send this book to her and it's got pictures and she might fucking read it.
This bitch. Okay. This one was one of my favorite books ever when I was a little kid. It's called The Story of Ferdinand. It's by Munro Leaf. It's illustrated by Robert Lawson. This classic tells the story of a peace-loving bull who is mistakenly thought to be a tough, violent animal but proves otherwise when he is put to the test in the bull ring.
Sounds like the Black Struggle.
It's called, I fucking love this book, and I read it as a little kid. Do not judge a book by its cover.
That's
Let
exactly
the bull
it.
Fucking smell some motherfucking flowers if he wants to.
Let him smell them flowers. And also, like, bullfighting is not good, but...
Bullfighting sucks.
Barcelona made it illegal. I think it's illegal in the Catalan region.
Finally, Jesus. Okay.
But in other parts of Spain, it's still good.
Yep. So that was younger regions. Spain, you need to get with the program. Now we're going to older readers. I'm going to read a couple more before I go on. One is called Emmanuel's Dream, The True Story of Emmanuel Ofosu-Yeboah by Laurie Ann Thompson. Born with a deformed leg, the determined Yerboa became a renowned athlete, winning fame for a 400-mile journey in his native Ghana to campaign for equal rights for the physically disabled. So we're covering...
Is this based on a true story?
Yes!
Ah! I love me some based on a true story.
Right? And it's covering a couple bases, because one, we're talking about equal rights for physically disabled and motherfucking Africa!
Mm-hmm. That is two birds with that stone. Getting it.
There's this book on here called I Am Jazz, and I don't know how I feel about it. So I Am Jazz by Jessica Herthel and
Jazz. Is that about the Transformer Jazz?
Oh, shit. I need to not say that. It looked corny. See, this is me fucking judging a book by its cover. And okay, it isn't corny. Because at first I'm looking at this, I'm like, who cares about this girl fucking, you're Jazz, whatever. So it goes.
No one cares about you, Jazz.
Actually, it's about Jazz Jennings, who knew from the age 2 that she was really a girl in a boy's body, has become a young spokesperson for the transgender community.
See?
Look at me being an asshole. This book is hella important and sweet.
I appreciate that you caught yourself and you acknowledged it. Like, it happens all the time. I catch myself having, like, I'm like, oh, that is a judgmental thought, James.
Yes.
And I just acknowledge it. And you don't vilify yourself about it, because that's putting more negative and toxic things into yourself.
Exactly. There's no
shame is not helpful.
That's
but,
true.
Like, Aneke just had a live on air catch growth moment.
I did. So good job. Because at first I was like, who cares about this little girl, Jazz? And now I'm like, I do care a lot about this little girl, Jazz.
I care a lot. I care the
Jazz
most about her.
And you know what? Even if she was a cisgendered little girl named Jazz, I should care about her too anyways. So, boo to me.
You just have a lot on your plate. A lot of kids' stories to read. So you thought maybe Jazz was going to be on the cutting room floor, but no. Bumped up to first.
Jazz made it. And here's the last one I'm going to read for this little section. It's called The Voice of Freedom, Fannie Lou Hamer, Spirit of the Civil Rights Movement by Carol Boston Weatherford. In an emotional, searing poems, Weatherford takes readers through the life of a civil rights activist, Fannie Lou Hamer. And the book won the 2016 Caldecott Honor. Now, if you don't know, Caldecott and Newbery are the two top honors for children's books. So the fact that this won last year means it is the cream of the crop.
It is on point and recent. And I remember I used to only read books that either had the Caldecott little signature on it. I was a little bit of a book snob back in the day. It was either that or we were only allowed to read books that had the, like, seal of, like, approval.
Okay, classy reading. I like that. Starting you off well.
But that's how you knew it was good. You're like, someone approved this.
Yeah.
Got an award.
Exactly. Check your sources. Get approval. Okay.
Otherwise, you read A Pedigree to Die For, which that did not get. My murder mystery is about the dogs.
No. Mm-mm. No. I mean, if you want
Starring Carmen Electra.
If you want to, sure. Okay. Moving on. We've tackled children. Now we're further on
the tips.
We're on self. We're on Aneke's tips for self. So I found this article. It was actually posted in the Corner Kids Playground. Join it if you haven't. It's a great, awesome space.
It is a wealth of amazingness.
Mm-hmm. And it's called How to Get Out of the Cycle of Outrage in the Trump World. Now, outrage is important. We all need to stay upbeat. We need to keep our eyes on the prize, see what's going on around us, be concerned. But also, we don't need to be like our heads are on fire all the time. It's about a steady, determined practice to end this nonsense, not about a frantic, crying mess of a situation for months on end. Cry, have a moment, be a mess, but then gather yourself up and then follow some of these tips that Arianna Huffington wrote for us.
I love it. You were like, here are your marching orders and let's go. What you got, Arianna Huffington?
I got this one link called Five Calls. It gives you five calls that you can make in 5 minutes. Okay, so it's all about phone numbers, about places that you can call, and it tracks where you are at. So you can call government officials, you can call your congress members, your senators, you can tell them that you are not happy with what's going on. This is a good way to get out your outrage. If you feel like you need to do something, then you can do that.
There's also an app, the Countable app,
yes.
Is that on the... Oh, okay.
What is it? Talk about it.
Oh, I thought it was on your list. You're like, yes. And I'm like, silent. Oh, and one of the corner kids also posts this. Sorry we're not giving y'all credit, but you know who you are. You don't do it for credit. Yeah. But there's this app, Countable, that my ex, actually, Paul, he sent to me. And actually, it asks you for what like your district is. And it actually shows you all the bills that are up each day. Mm-hmm. And you can also vote along. And it gets sent to whoever your congresspeople are of, like, what you vote, like, you can keep track of, like, how they're doing and how you can contact them.
Yes.
Like, because there's so many bills that every day there's something that they're voting on. And so this allows you to see, what they're voting on every day.
Yes. Stay up on that
and
shit.
And hold them accountable.
Watch them.
Yes, the app is called Countable.
It's like having sneaky peek as our government. We need to keep track of that shit. Okay, so she has a list of things. So the first one is, as they say in airplanes, put on your own oxygen mask first. Take care of yourself so you can take care of others. Remember, take some time for yourself. It's important. I had a glass of wine when I came home from work today, and it has made me 100% better. You got to take care of yourself whichever way makes you feel better. Two.
Self-care is incredibly important. Also getting enough sleep and stuff, too.
Yes, sleep is important.
I say, take yourself on, like, once a week, have a little date for yourself. 1 hour.
You could take yourself to go see Chicago on Broadway, like James does.
You could see Chicago. You could take a bubble bath. You could color in a coloring book. You could watch, like, something that is just for you, no one else.
Yes.
It has to be just you. Okay. A little self-care something.
Yes. So I got a couple other things just to come up for. Take action. So remember I gave you that link for the 5 calls. And then also, once you've taken care of step one, be ready to put your outrage to work. And the list above, like on this thing, it gives you a list of things where to start. 3, remember humor has always been a great way to find light in the darkness. So seek out ways to laugh. Laughing is hella good. I mean, that's where morbid sense of humor comes from, because sometimes all you gotta do is just laugh at how terrible things are. And then you know what? You're able to move on and get going with your day.
Which is why, like, there's some comedians who are, like, killing it. Like, Aziz, mm-hmm. his opening monologue for SNL, like, the day after the inauguration,
SNL's
was
on
amazing.
Fire right now.
They, like, mm-hmm. Samantha Bee, she, mm-hmm. her show, I can't say enough about mm-hmm. that. Like, you can get information and laugh at the same time. Like us.
Yes, definitely. Listen to us. Get creative. Get creative. Start doing, like, if you are somebody who thrives through art, start doing that. People did a viral hashtag dress like a woman in response to Trump's stupid ass idea how women should dress. Those people got creative and they make it funny, and they have a whole bunch of people just dress regular, and it says dress like a woman because we dress like everything.
That's true. You do? Oh.
And then this is something that the corner kids have done. It goes, find your own thrive tribe. Reach out to people, seek out encouragement and inspiration from friends, and be there for those who need the same, including those most vulnerable to Trump's decision. Reach out, find someone, talk to each other.
Yeah. Can I give all this? Like, I feel warm and fuzzy. Like, Aneka and I, we talk about y'all. The Minority Corner Kids Playground, like, it gives me faith in social media. It's the only reason I really go on Facebook.
Oh, wait, pause right there.
Am I jumping the gun?
Number 6, don't limit yourself to reading social media.
Oh, there it is, exactly. That is true. If you're, yes.
You know.
And it's also hella depressing. And you get sucked into it, and you're not going to be able to go out there and, first of all, self-care yourself or take action or be creative, because it's draining.
Yes.
So it's fucking draining.
Yes. Do what I do. I take little dips in there. I have slowly mm-hmm. gotten back into Facebook. I took a long break, and now I will dip in there maybe twice a day just to check it out, just to look, and then I dip away, and then I read my news sources from the sources that I like, and then also I try and keep abreast of all the different opinions, and that's how I get my news, not by from mm-hmm. you know.
Yes,
Shay,
I know.
Shay posting around the way on my fucking thread.
She be posting some crazy shit too, usually. Can I also recommend, like, you know, I would say, like, limit your our phones. I think we can you know, like, I try to put a buffer. I don't check my email within my first, like, hour or two of my day. And, like, also, like,
you and Ariana Huffington are on the same wavelength. Let me get through this, James.
Okay.
The next one is called
Unplugged. She's my best friend. Me and Ari, we be hanging out.
It is called Turn Your Phone Off. Turn Your Computer Off. Read a book. Yeah, go outside. Yep. Maybe watch a cheesy-ass Bravo TV show. Just relax your brain.
It's true.
Necessary.
Because, like, people do not need as much access to us all the time that we think. And, you know, you could be giving yourself to, like, getting up in the morning and having, like, you know, writing or meditating or just doing some self-care in the morning, even if it's, like, 5 or 10 minutes or whatever it is. But, like, give yourself some space and some time that, like, for me, it's, like, 2 hours before bed. Like, yep. I'm done with, like, social media and
it
stuff.
It is so true. Okay, now I'm going to switch gears.
Oops, switch it up.
So I'm going to post that list so you can read the article again if you can't find it on the Corner Kids thing. So you can read all about it. There's actually more on there, but I don't need to mention it. Like, it says breathe. It's good for your brain. Y'all are breathing. You're alive. So
breathe it up.
The next Neke's tip is...
A Neke tip?
Is watching. What to watch. So Color Lines had this great article that I love because I've always... When you are someone who appreciates movie and cinema like I do.
She do.
D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation has always been a movie that keeps fucking popping up because it was such fucking technical achievement, but it was racist as hell, and it's about the Confederate, the Ku Klux Klan, and it's awful, and I hate it, but...
Well, and it set the groundwork of, like, how blacks are viewed still to this day.
Exactly.
In media and in the real world.
Exactly. So PBS has a documentary that aired on February 6th, but I'm sure it's going to be replayed, and you can find it online on PBS.com or .org or whatever. So PBS, you know it's good. It's coming from a neutral place. It is excellent public broadcasting system. And it is it is about William Monroe Trotter, who in 1910 caused the movement to boycott this motherfucking film.
Wow. I did not hear about that boycott.
Mm-hmm. So the movie That's came awesome. Out in 1915, but in 1910, I believe, he found out that this shit was being made and was like, nuh-uh, this is doo-doo. So he basically Trotter, he's a black Boston-based newspaper editor and an activist who organized protests against this fucking movie. He sought to ban this movie from Boston. His protests raised so much steam that actually the NAACP members, they went out and they protested the theater outside of movie theaters, and they also involved, like, they went to different movie theaters that wouldn't sell tickets to black people and protested there. It was amazing. There's even a story about how he, as like a signifier, he went to go buy a ticket from this whites only theater, and then a plainclothes police officer punched him in the face, and then of course this got national news. So he did that on purpose.
Damn.
Because he's a motherfucking baller. So
boss,
I'm saying try and stream this movie. It's called Birth of a Movement. It's about activism and what you can get done and what we never hear about because of this dumbass movie. Because
I'm always like, I'm so glad to hear this because they never talk about, I'm glad to hear that people, it just didn't come out and people are just like, well, that's happening.
Yeah, no.
Like, I'm so glad that
people were protesting.
And it's the power of there is and I applaud people in the past 2 weeks since that thing has taken office. The resistance, it does work. I mean, you show me throughout history where it shows that resistance didn't work. Like, all of our protests have allowed for you and I just be sitting here having this goddamn conversation.
Exactly.
So from women's suffrage to and people back even in women's suffrage were like, you ladies need to sit down. What do you think you're doing?
And not
you
to know? Mention within women's suffrage, they had a big march and they asked the black women to march in the back. So,
oh, Jesus. Back to the intersectionality. We'll put a pin on that one and come back to women's suffrage. Well, and Women's History Month, we'll talk about that.
Oh, one thing that I wanted to mention, too, that his protesting actually got Birth of a Nation banned in Boston.
Good. I was hoping that was going to be the, I'm glad. I thought that's where that was going.
So,
good.
So just watch it, enjoy it. I will post a link. But if you need to, if you don't want to look at the link, it's called Birth of a Movement. It's about William Monroe Trotter, and it is excellent. So.
Oh, man. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
So those are my tips. There are a lot of tips.
Aneka, your tips, can I just give you a little on-air, like, little review?
Okay,
can I review your tips?
I'll take it.
Your tips are on fleek,
point,
on fire.
Yes.
I feel like I learned, I know so many tips. I know it was just the tips, but I felt like you gave me all of it.
It's just, you know, a little amuse bouche.
I feel like you just went... You went deep inside all of me.
Gross.
I'm pregnant with knowledge, so thank you. I'm having a baby, and its name is Knowledge.
Oh, my God. That baby is going to be special.
You leave my baby alone. What's up, Corner Kids? It's our new segment where we just turn it over to you, Corner Kids, because y'all are blowing up. You know what?
Yeah.
It's almost years ago, but
kind
like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
We asked y'all to get involved in the conversation, and nobody
did. Y'all got involved.
You are taking over the conversation, and I'm not mad at it.
Not at all.
Aneka and I, we are the magic school bus drivers. We are Miss Frizz
Hong
together.
Hong Kong. Miss Frizzle. Miss Frizzle.
Miss Frizzle Dizzle.
Yeah.
Which Kate McKinnon is going to be voicing in the new magic school bus. Okay.
I like right, Kate we'll McKinnon, but she's always had a Beth Midler vibe to me. Who else feels like Miss Frizzle had a Beth Midler vibe? Talk about
that. I see. She's a little bit more classier. So weigh in. Tell us what you think in the Corner Kids. So a lot of these are, some of them are emails. Some of them are responses on our Facebook page. The first one, it was an email. Mm. This comes from Catherine W. She's responding to that Star Wars, our big Star Wars fight.
Yeah, it looks like you got someone on Team James.
Someone came on Team James. Catherine W. said, I completely agree. Rogue One didn't have a good representation of women. I am a woman. Here's my point. Look at the group of assassins/spies who agreed to secretly form a party to storm the database to get the Death Star plans. There is not a single woman in the part for like 30 or 40 people, except the main character. She says, I found that extremely weird when I was watching it.
You know what I say to that? Go to Silicon Valley.
That's literally what it is, right? They were just representing. But you know what? You have a point too, because I think like I'm gonna put myself in your moccasins.
They're comfortable, aren't they?
They're very comfortable. Sweet. And I think like for you, like there were a lot of women who had like lines, and there was also a black woman who wasn't in CGI.
She
wasn't blue. She wasn't orange and she had lines and she was a forest. She was like a senator. She was powerful.
And she was draped in gold.
And so I think like for Aneka, I won't speak for you, but it's like, I think that maybe like you saw yourself and it was like, awesome. I'm into this. Like I'm here.
You have a point.
I'm represented.
Right.
And so I totally give you, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you and I hear you.
And I see you too. I totally feel like I shouldn't limit myself by just being like, yeah, it's okay. When there needs to be more women represented, we are the over 50% of the population of America. So why don't we have more representation?
Your extras need to be always at least 50% women every movie. Unless it's taking place in a men's sauna.
I don't want to be in that mess.
They're not there. So
yeah, we don't need to be there. With sweaty ass dicks everywhere. No, thank you.
Oh my God. Thanks for responding, Catherine. Wow.
I'm rocked tonight, ones, y'all.
She is rocked.
This is my one glass, comedy
jam. Was it just one glass of wine?
It was
it just the one?
Okay, moving on to the Corner Kids Playground, which, plug, highly suggest you join in. It's free. It's on Facebook. Just Google it. Just go Minority Corner with a K, Corner Kids Playground. Everything spelled with Corner and Kids are spelled with K. We stop at 2 Ks. And then we skip
three,
to 4.
It's scary.
Then we skip
it's
to 4.
It's either 2 or 4. You can't. There's no middle ground.
No.
3 is too much.
That page is popping, so I'm going to read the first
like
one.
Like my lip gloss.
Ooh, little mama reference. Ebony S said she's reminding everybody to donate to the Bowling Green Massacre Victim Fund. You know how many people died and perished in that? It was a tragic affair.
Ebony S.
She also posted this great Billy on the Street segment. Highly recommend you check it out. It's all about that tea and shade.
Yes, Ebony S. I can't handle it. You are so such a brilliant shady poster, and I say that with all the props. Like some of the things you post, I'm just like, girl, you are so good with that shade. So, because I will say this, Ebony S. posted that, and I was like, oh fuck, there was a giant, because I didn't hear about what got said in the news.
You actually thought,
and so I then was like, oh no, there was a massacre. I think I was at the gym or something, and so then I googled Bowling Green Massacre, and then I saw what really happened. So you made my heart skip, girl.
It's fake. What's another one, James? You got the next one.
This next one comes from Javier B. You posted this excellent video on the history of protests in America. So that's in the Minority Corner Kids Playground. Definitely take a look at that, y'all.
And Elsa A., she posted a wonderful video on people calling congressmen for the first time. Congress folks. Just like round of fire.
They're gonna say Congress fuckers for a second.
No, I'm not that wrong.
But you know what? Sometimes y'all be fuckers. Like, you let Betsy DeVos go. You letting way too much shit go. So I'm gonna call you what you is. Congress fuckers.
You know what? Support your after school arts programs. Support your library. Support your public schools. Get out there. Do some after school programming. Let's fight this grassroots style for Betsy DeVos. Let's fight it.
Well, we've come to the end of our episode, Miss Thing.
We have, and it's been a fun episode.
It's been a fun one. It has been fun. Well, not going to be sunny here. You know, fucking global warming. It has been really warm. It's been nice today.
What? It's
it
been
rained
raining.
Yesterday.
It's been raining it's for been, like 3 weeks here.
Oh, hold on to your butts. Oh. Tomorrow is a snowstorm.
What?
I ain't got no snow boots. It already snowed. I thought we were done with this. I had snow boots,
James,
but then I left them at my
New
house,
now.
And then it was spring. Oh. It already snowed. We did it already.
Time to get them back. Dust those shits off. It is time to put them back on your feet.
So if you would like to donate to James's snowshoe fund.
I don't know about. Okay.
Oh, just kidding. But we do have a new thing that we are doing. We're doing Jumbotrons.
Jumbotron, we're a part of the Max Fun Network.
So if you would like to send a Jumbotron message, you go to MaximumFun.com/Jumbotrons. And you can figure out how to sign up for a Jumbotron. You could do a personalized message and we'll read it out. If you want to like be like, hey, Stacey, it's my birthday. Or if you have like an event that you want to publicize or something, you can go to do it as well too.
And we will do it. We'll read your shit, whatever you want us to say. Nothing explicit and nasty unless it's fun nasty.
Mm. Oh, then we'll definitely get into it. But you can do that. And yes. And what else do we got?
We have a Twitter. Come on Twitter. We're a Minority Corner. Just like follow us. We'll follow you. Leave a review on iTunes so other people can find our shit and like it and share it around the world. Facebook. Like our Facebook page, Minority Corner.
Like
join the Corner Kids, the Minority Corner, Corner Kids Playground.
Because they're creating magic.
It is
magic
a good place to be, y'all. If you're not on it, you're missing out. There's some awesome people on there.
If you're not on it, you're doing it wrong.
Ooh. I'm not about to tell. if you're listening to our podcast, you're already doing it right.
You're already doing it right. You could be, there are ways that you could advance your rightness. That's what I'm saying.
Ooh, step it up. James is asking you to step it up.
That's all. Not much. You know, you're already on the Facebooks. Come hang out with us. It gives me life.
Yeah, and don't forget, we still are doing Ask Minority Corner, Ask Me Anything.
Yes, or
email
you can give
us
a comment. Mm-hmm. And we love, rate us, review us on iTunes, share the message, share the wealth. And happy Black History
Happy Black History Month.
AKA American History.
American citizen. Hey, asterisk, some of us are of African descent. We deserve to be celebrated.
AKA Black Magic Month. It's a long title, but that's what it is.
It's a long title, but I like it.
But we're here, yeah. I was going to say, we're here all week. We're here all month.
We're just going to be sitting
here. We're just here.
We're not a live radio show, Chase.
Oh, no, I had to remember that for a second. Had to recall that. All right, and Mel B, best of luck in all of your endeavors.
You're rich. I don't care.
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know that it's somebody who does amazing work, but it's also a real conversation, so I don't know where it's headed.
I think you just clarified something for me that's never been really clear before.
This is the most serious I've ever been in my life. You've made me completely serious. I feel like I'm in therapy.
Bullseye, creators you know, creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
The first ever Very, Very Fun Day is coming to Tally Hall in Chicago on February 11th, with media sponsorship from WBEZ 91.5. Advanced tickets are sold out, but we will have a limited number of tickets for sale at the door. So come on out for a day jam-packed with five great Max Fun podcasts, four local shows, and a comic showcase. For more information, please visit MaximumFun.org/Very, Very Fun Day.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.